morning. If you'll turn to the Gospel of John. Let me grab this. Here, I'll get it. Heather. All right. Anyway, the Gospel of John. If you turn your Bible to, hopefully Ron can keep up there. John chapter 3, we're going to read verse 16, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to be in about three or four verses. We're going to do something a little bit different today than we normally do. And by that meaning, I have had several people ask me, are we going to be able to see anything from the Haiti trip that you just went on? So we're going to share some of that with you today during this part of the message. But I want to start out today, just a few minutes here in the beginning, with this text, a very familiar passage that you are familiar with in the Gospel of John, the great chapter of John chapter 3, a verse many of you have already quoted by memory but let's read it together and look at it in the Scripture and think about this verse. John 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a powerful verse, and when you think about that, as it starts out in John, he writes and he gives us, "For God so loved the world." He didn't say America, although he loves America. Didn't single out one nation, although he loves all nations. Simply, the fact is that God simply, after creation, loves the entire world that he created, so much so that he gave his only Son, his only begotten Son. And that if you believe in him, the Bible is very clear, that you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life, eternal life, life that lives forever and ever. And that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him and salvation in Christ. And so it's important, you and I understand when our physical birthdays were, but it's also very important in the Bible that you understand when is your spiritual birthday. Can you look back in a time and a place or a certain circumstance or whatever in your life and that day when the Holy Spirit came to you and revealed to you your sin and your lostness and that you needed a Savior, and the only way to come to Christ was through salvation, through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual new birth that he talks about here in John chapter 3. And so we're born of the physical life, the water, once. We also need to be born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the second time to become born again. So he gives us very clearly here that God so loved the world. I want to share with you, go over just a few more pages in John's Gospel, chapter 17. And so it's important that Jesus came, and we understand the Bible, that he was born of a virgin and lived a sinless and a perfect life here on the earth, faithful for some 33 years, that he then faithfully obeyed what God had sent him to do, and obedient all the way to the cross, faithfully doing what God had called him and commissioned him to do. And you understand that, you realize that Jesus Christ, you have God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God. We only have one God, but we have three persons within that Godhead. And so God the Father sent the Lord Jesus. And notice as Jesus here gives us what we know. I just want to read the first four verses here or so in the Scripture, but John 17 and verse 1. Jesus was faithful under the cross. He was faithful in what God had given him to do. In John 17, he says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come." Talking about his crucifixion now. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I don't know about you, but I would say that's pretty interesting. As you start into John 17, several things. At one, he talks about there that the only true God, the only true Savior, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all faiths and not all religions believe that. Not everybody believes Jesus Christ is a Savior. Not all of them believe that he came to die on the cross for our sin debt. There are others that believe in other ways of their faith and their religion, but here the Bible is very clear that he came, the one and only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And not only that in verse 4, but he finished what God sent him here to do. I don't know about you, but I begin to think about that as Jesus was faithful and going then back to the right hand of the Father. Go over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. we find that he was faithful unto the cross. And what he left behind a group of disciples, apostles, that we know them as. And in Acts chapter 1 and in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is what we would know in the Bible as like an apostolic commission. In other words, he personally went about and sought out these fishermen and sought out all these men to come and to follow him and to leave their occupations and their net. Drop your nets and come and follow me, and I'll make you to be fishers of men. And so they did that, and he publicly and personally trained them, each one of them, and then faithfully all the way to the cross. We find that Jesus was faithful in what he had given, had been given to do, and now we find the commission given to the apostles that he left behind. It says in Acts chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, these apostles, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So here's the important part. This commission was given to the apostles in the church of Jesus Christ. And so we find here that the apostles were faithful. You can go back and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and all about their individual lives and see how faithful they were in carrying out the commission that God had given to them. So God gave a commission to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was faithful. He accomplished his purpose. The apostles, then they carried out their commission that God had given to them, and they were faithful and carried that out. And many of them, I think all except one, died a martyr's death in carrying out the gospel of the Great Commission and being faithful to take the gospel to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the world. I find it interesting then as the commission is given to the church. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, that same commission that God in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world. We need to understand in John 3:16 that God loves the world so much that he's willing to give his only begotten Son. And he commissioned the apostles, and then he commissioned the church. And he gave that to every born-again, say, Bible-believing Christian, that you and I have our marching orders and we have our commission by God in what we are to do, and that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ both here at home and around the world. Matthew chapter 28, the Bible is very clear in verse 16. Matthew 28, 16, then the 11 disciples went away from Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Notice this now, but some doubted. And then Jesus came and spake unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So God very clearly established in the Bible that God loves this world that he has created. He loves the people that he has put here in this life. And his concern is to send the only begotten Son of God, his Son, to die on the cross of Jesus Christ to pay for our sin debt if we would just trust him and believe and have eternal life. You say the mission of the church has never changed. Our marching orders has never changed. Our commission has never changed. And we need to take our lives and expand our horizon, and we just need to think not just in Jerusalem. Now, by Jerusalem, meaning here in the Bible, it's that area where they lived. And, you know, in the early part of Christianity, God had to get them out of Jerusalem. So how do you think he did that? Persecution. Persecution came to those Christians, and many of them became martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, they were scattered from Jerusalem under heavy persecution, proclaiming the gospel as they went and preaching the gospel throughout the entire known world at that time. So God then said, take that gospel to the nations around the world. Take it to Judea, and then take it to Samaria, and then take it to the uttermost part of the world. So our commission within the church body has not changed. We have that commission. You and I have that commission today. We have been commissioned by our Heavenly Father, and every body of Christ and every born-again, saved, Bible-believing Christian, you have that great commission. So the question is, what are you going to do with it? We have to take the gospel to the entire world, and you say, well, how do you do that? Well, that's why we partner with foreign missions, and that's why we partner with missionaries. Dale and Janet are here today. They've grown up a lot in this church, and they're missionaries to New Zealand. And God has called them and prepared them and trained them and placed them in the ministry. You and I cannot go to New Zealand. So we partner with them as they go to New Zealand to preach the gospel, establish churches, and preach the gospel to all nations of the earth. So here's where I'm at in the message today with this. Back probably a half a year, maybe almost a year ago, down in Haiti. We have been partnered with a missionary by the name of Jacques and Marie Alexander for several years now. Jacques and Marie. Jacques grew up in Haiti as a young man, and then as he got a little bit older, moved to Florida, and his family did, and Jacques got saved and came to know Christ as a young man and met Marie, and they got married, and he felt at that time they did establish a church there in Florida. And then what God did is God sent him to seminary, sent him to Bible college. He happened to come on through the influence of somebody from Arlington Baptist College and through the World Baptist Fellowship, and Jacques went to Texas and went to Arlington Baptist College and graduated to seminary. And then God felt him calling him back to Haiti to preach the gospel where he grew up as a young man. So he obeyed that commission, was faithful to that commission, and God through these years has blessed and done a great job there of preaching the gospel, and they have established a main core church there in Delmas, and that became the first church that Brother Jacques established. And then from that, they began to take the gospel out into Haiti and preach the gospel, and I found it a very unique way of how they did this. They established a Bible Institute there, and so they would have young men that would come along, and they would want to learn the Bible and learn in the Bible Institute, and so Jacques made a deal with them. We'll take you into the Institute, and if you want to come to the Institute and study the Bible and the Word of God, this is what it's going to cost you. But if you want to come and go through the Institute, we'll teach you and train you, and the condition is this, then you must leave and go from here and plant a church somewhere in the regions beyond, either in Haiti or beyond there from somewhere else. So what has happened is down through the years now, there's been, I think, 13 churches out of that main church. Talking about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Young men that have come in, that have gone through the Bible Institute. They have learned the Bible, the Word of God. They've been trained in the ways of the ministry. Then they've gone out into different parts of Haiti and preached the gospel and then established churches. So here's what happened this year. Jacques said, we're going to have what is called the first National Independent Baptist Church Fellowship of Haiti. We're going to bring all these national pastors together. There's about 13 of them. And we're going to bring them into that part of Port-au-Prince, and we want to have a fellowship meeting and to be able to bring them all together, those congregations, 13 congregations, bring these national pastors that have been trained, and they have churches in the outlying areas all around different parts of Haiti. And these are young men that have been trained and gone through the Bible Institute. So he called me and he said, we want you to come down and preach in this meeting. And I said, we want you to preach on Friday night, on Saturday, and on Sunday. And part of this fellowship meeting, the meeting will run from Sunday to Sunday. It began on July 30th. It ended on August the 6th. We want you to come down in the middle of the week and then preach on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to bring in another missions pastor out of Abilene, Texas. He's going to do workshops and teach on discipleship and to be able to help the Haitian people to get discipled. I said, all right. So I accepted his invitation and prepared for that, got everything ready, and made the trip. So I flew down there on a Wednesday to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and he told me where to go, and when I got off the plane, I don't know if you've ever been in Haiti or not, but just it's a different part of the world that we live in. Sweetest people in the world as I met the Haitian people. But some of the environment, driving in the roads, there are no stop signs, there are no stop lights, it's every man for themselves. And when I'm with Jacques, there'll be most mopeds and motorcycles cutting through every which way. There's little vendors all up and down the streets. There are no streets. It's all mountain roads in Port-au-Prince and trash everywhere. Trash everywhere. When I got out of the airplane and I got in the taxi to go to it, I've gone along and all of a sudden I see people standing right out in the street, in the public area, urinating in the middle of the street. I thought, this is a different place. And I didn't know what to expect at that time. But what I want to show you today is we're going to walk through some slides and a few videos as part of the core of our message here today. I want to take you to Haiti this morning with me a little bit through photos and some of these videos. I want you to see the Haitian people. They love their music, and they love it loud, and it was hot. I mean, it was 95 to 100 every day in high humidity. And Jacques said, we wear suits and ties and sport coats and ties. I said, all the Haitians do? He said, absolutely. So needless to say, I sweat like a horse for a whole week. Let's start the pictures. I don't know what we're going to get here. This is one of the outlying churches when I got there. This is Mose. His name is Mose, which is for Moses, and this is one of his congregation. This is one of the preacher boys. Just go ahead and click through them, and when I pause, then we can click. On the left-hand side is Mose, or Moses, what we know as Mose. That's his congregation. He just got married, and a young man that's really growing in the Lord. He's really got a background in engineering and in building, and as a matter of fact, before I left Haiti, I said, next year we're going to have a meeting here in October, and I said, you know, I told Jacques, I said, I'd love to get a couple of these young national pastors out of Haiti to come here and be here in America, and Moses is one of the young men that's going to come, right there on the left. This is one of the congregations and one of the outlying churches. I had a chance on Monday to go to two of the outlying churches in Haiti. One was with Reggie, my interpreter. Another one was with Isaac Peters. But that looks like a different church there, one of those satellite churches being pastored by them. Go ahead and click it. Again, this is the guy that's standing right in the middle, his head's right by the pulpit on that side. That's Reginald, and he was my interpreter for the week. The guy in the sport coat and the blue, that's Jacques Alexander, the main missionary that all this got started through. And this is at Reggie's church that he pastors. He went through the Bible Institute. He pastors this church. He just got married. His wife's name is Naomi, and a sweet young lady. And he rides this moped around. And I asked him one day at the main meeting, I said, does your wife go to church on that moped? I said, the church that you pastor is 4 miles out of Port-au-Prince. I said, does Naomi ride this? He said, well, she does if she has to, but she's really not too thrilled about it. But he rides that moped everywhere he goes around Port-au-Prince. By the way, and this is his congregation there in Port-au-Prince. It started right after the earthquake, and it's about 6 years old. In this church, they have no running water, no toilet facilities. They lose power on Sunday services. They have church on Tuesday and Thursday and Sunday. They lose power 4 to 5 times a day. Their prayer needs are in this congregation. Pastor, we says, we need a well. And so if we could have water, then you could have bathrooms or a 10,000-watt generator to be able to supply power to them. But they're doing a great job. This is a young congregation. It's only about 6 years old, and they're doing a great job for the Lord. Go ahead. This is some of the young men in the Bible Institute that has just graduated. Go ahead. And again, one of the satellite churches, some of the national pastors there. This is Jacques on the left, and they brought in a speaker. He's speaking at the Bible Institute at a graduation. And this is one of the national pastors in one of the churches. There's like 13 of them. I met all of them. I know a few of them remember their names. I can't rattle off all 13 of them. This is one of the national pastors and his wife. Go ahead. Again, one of the national churches, one of the satellite churches of the national pastors started. That's one of the inside of the satellite churches. Just keep going. There's another one of them on the inside. And when you come into these places, they have no heat. It's 95 to 100 degrees. It's very hot. And these congregations pack in there, pack these places out. The one congregation at Isaac Peter's place puts about 250 people in this little tiny room. Another 125. It's unbelievable. Go ahead. And that's the backside of one of the congregations there. Just keep flipping it. This is the main orphanage. They did not plan on an orphanage, but when the earthquake hit and all that, one of the things that Jacques and Marie noticed that there was devastation everywhere. And people, they have babies and children and nowhere to go. And so Jacques, that's the main compound. It's a fence. If you go outside, that's a steel door that slides across that. And so when you go in there, they have the orphanage. Jacques and Marie has a little house in there. They're under a construction project for a larger orphanage. It's about one third of the way built. Churches from Texas and Ohio have gone in to be able to help them. And I happened to be there the day I was there. They were taking naps. I thought, well, I got here right at the right time. And so they said, let me show you. And so I opened one door, and there's a doorway of seven little babies under a year old in that orphanage. And the next door was little girls and then little boys, and they've taken these children in, and then they try to adopt them out. This is back to Reggie's church. Just keep going there. I think we've seen that, haven't we? Or you can keep going. I don't know if there's a duplicate in here. They were so excited, some of the Haitian people, because they come. The average Haitian people makes about $5,000 a year, roughly. And so they brought their offerings to the meeting. And this is what some of them brought. And they brought different animals and that, and they gave. And it's what they brought in from some of the satellite churches. Go ahead. This is in the main church in Delmas. This is where the main meeting was. That's just one side of the sanctuary there. We'll see other sides of it here. There's a little bit side of it. But the meetings were pretty well in the main church. The conference packed out through the week. Go ahead and just... This is one of the speakers. That's the platform in the main church at Delmas where the conference was held. That sign on the back talks about the Independent Baptist. This was a workshop, and on the other end of it is Josiah Boyd out of Abilene, Texas, teaching a discipleship group there. Looks like the one lady there in the front fell asleep. But there they are. And the one on the left is Reggie. He's one of the national pastors of the church that's out in the satellite area. And then that's Josiah Boyd. They're teaching on discipleship there. This is just a cross-shot view of the part of the congregation at the church at Delmas. And that's me and Josiah there. And I don't recognize the little boy there. Just one of the morning sessions. Keep going. This is what the congregation, that's what it looks like from the platform up by the podium. You've got the song director there leading. But the whole lower level, was packed for the meetings. And then up on top, several people there. But that building was completely destroyed in the earthquake. And so they had to rebuild. They came back and they rebuilt with block walls and steel structures and steel reinforcement. So it's now supposedly shouldn't have to suffer through another earthquake. This is a little bit of the congregation. Just some of the shots in there. And you just keep going through them here. See what we got. That's from the back looking towards the front. Now, I got to tell you, just pause right here. This is how the schedule went all week. The first service of the day was at 5 a.m. in the morning. It was a two-hour service. It went from 5 to 7. They gave you a two-hour break. The second service was from 9 till noon. And then in the afternoon, the choirs and the music and all the special music practiced in the afternoon. Church in the evening every day started at 5 o'clock and ended at 8 o'clock. That was every day. Now, when it got to Sunday, church started at 7 a.m., and we got done at 12:05, one service. Go ahead. It's a little bit of that. That's that 5 a.m., 5 early in the morning service is when that picture was taken. Just keep going. Keep going. They had a great worship leader, a lot of people involved in music. ahead and move on. There you go. I don't know if that's on video, but that's one of the preaching sessions. Is there a video with that or an audio with that? Oh, it's okay. This is one of the national pastors. They brought all these signs from all these churches, and one of these clips in here will show you when the service will let out. They had a service after the service. So.
And Timothy became a student
in the ministry.
I would encourage all of you to be a student of the Bible, to learn the Word of God under these pastors. And that's what Timothy did. And as Timothy went on to serve, and Paul traveled on, oftentimes he left Timothy behind to keep the church
silent.
Timothy was a good man. We need more Timothys. And that's what I see in these young pastors. More Timothys that will serve and preach and carry out the Great Commission and be a part of the team.
I don't know if this will load. This looks like after one of the services. When service was over, it was like they just wanted to continue that on. They would raise these signs and sing and dance in the aisles, and I don't know if... That's a satellite church. Seen that one before. That's a duplicate. Some of the buildings that are in are just wood structures, and a lot of them are very deteriorated and need a lot of work done on them. Be part of Moses' congregation. That's Moses and his wife. They're just newly married. This would be a panel, a discussion. They had brought up several national pastors, and they brought Josiah Boyd up. This would be at the Bible Institute at a graduation service. That's it? That's all that came through? Okay, there's some that evidently didn't come, I guess, in that. So, okay, so if you can bring the lights back up a little bit. So the purpose of the week in that was to be able to take the gospel. There's several things there. The main theme of the week was to be able to focus on the Great Commission and the preaching of the Great Commission of the churches that are there as they continue to go out. One church out of that, one of those churches that have started out of the main church, has gone on and established, I think, 15 other churches in that area. So the idea and the purpose behind missions and the carrying out the Great Commission and what Jesus just gave here is to be able to go into an area, preach the gospel, establish a main hub, a main church, and then to be able to plant churches and carry out churches from there. And that's the purpose and the intent that they do. Several things in here that we need to pray about. One is, and this is some of the things that many of you are prayer warriors, and I'll just throw these out with you, things that you can think about, things that you can pray with, and maybe what we'll do, we'll print these on a printed card, and that they're praying for in that congregation. One is there's a great need in the orphanage, as these have the orphanage there, to be able to care for these children. Within the orphanage, there's several needs within the orphanage. There's also needs within the children that are in the orphanage. And then it was really impressive when I'm going through there, they have a feeding center and then the orphanage, but they also have a whole group of nannies that tend to all the children within the orphanage. And so as I was talking with Jacques and going through a lot of this, a lot of the needs that are for the nannies, they're just Haitian women that have come in and to be able to serve and to help out, and there are several needs. And so if you're thinking Sunday school classes or different ministries, things we could pray about, there's opportunities to help these nannies as they serve. There's opportunities to help the needs, the feeding. I asked Jacques, I said, where's the money coming from to handle all this? And he said, it's a faith-based ministry, and a lot of it just comes in through whatever he can raise through support. And whether a personal or work fund or whatever. But then their main focus then is really on the Bible Institute to go out and to plant these churches. On Monday, we had a chance to travel to a church that's about 8 miles outside of Port-au-Prince. The pastor there, his name is Isaac Peters. He lives in this, I was hoping his picture would come up on here, but it didn't. But he lives, you come to the compound, all these compounds, when you come into them, they're all just concrete, poured concrete walls with barbed wire around the top, and then his home where he lives and like where Isaac lives, and in there his mother come out and met us, his wife and two children come out. And so we were asking him what some of the things that he's praying about, and here's what you can pray about in his particular ministry. They have outgrown the building that they're in, and they run about 225 on Sunday morning, and he said we need more space. If we can build a little bit larger, add to the building, he said, I can get more people to come. So they're totally outgrowing the facility that they're in. And they were taking us around the building and showing that the building has wood studs in it. And they're already beginning to rot out. And so they're wanting to build some kind of a steel structure that'll last and be a little bit durable for them. So pray for them that they can get a little bit larger building. Also in that part of the area, their medical needs, physical needs, are nothing like what America is. And so they have great concerns of a medical area. They have some property that they would like to be able to buy and to add on to that facility. And so we're praying about, we need to pray about, the Lord would give them the addition of that extra property, and he wants to put some kind of a medical ministry there to be able to help in that part. So, but that church is probably one of the fastest growing of the churches that are there and that. So the other one, with Reginald, the interpreter, we just ask you to pray for him. Many of these facilities do not have running water. I looked at it. One of the things we need to pray about is you can get a well. The main hub that we were at several times in our meetings, the lights would go out. I mean, you're in a service on a Sunday morning, and the lights would go out, and everything would shut down. And then you've got to wait about 2 minutes, and then a power generator would kick on, boom, everything would come back up. So that affected all the music instruments and everything that they were doing there. So they're praying for and the bathroom facilities, they have none, and so in the facilities, so they need a lot of prayer and for a lot of things to be supplied there as they continue. But they are the most upbeat and encouraging people, and as they continue to labor for the Lord, you know, as I said, as you come outside the gates of these churches, even the main one in Delmas, and you go down the streets, it's just trash everywhere. It's drugs. People spaced out on drugs. It's people that when you look at it, the conditions that many of them live in, it's unbelievable that in that part of the world. But God is there and doing a great work. Many people are still continuing to get saved. They do the same thing that we do. I wish we'd had the clip on here. The morning of the Lord's Supper, I'm sitting there, lots and lots of children, lots and lots of young people, lots and lots of younger couples. So I'm asking them, I said, where's the old folks? Well, there's older folks there, but I said, where's the 70, 80, 90-year-olds? And the national pastor says to me, he said, they're dead. And I said, what do you mean they're dead? He said, well, they don't live that long many times down here. It's pretty rare. And it was really a blessing on Sunday morning. We served the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. They had 21 pastors line up on the front. Josiah and I had a chance to be a part of that. And we served the Lord's Supper to the whole congregation that day. And they just don't have the medical treatment, they don't have the medical facilities, they don't have the medical care, they live a little bit rougher life, and so, but they had one little lady that her ministry was to prepare the Lord's Supper. And it was so neat on Sunday morning to watch her as she comes. She got everything ready, prepared it all, and put it up there on the communion table, got everything ready, and then they do it a little bit different than what you and I do it here. They just had 21 pastors lined up, and the congregation row by row gets up and files down and takes the Lord's Supper and goes back as they're playing music. And so they do a little bit different in that. But here's the point of it is, I had one national pastor say to me with an interpreter, he said, someday when we get to heaven, you and I will be able to understand each other. The language barrier goes away. But you know what was there? What was really simple about it is heart to heart. It's just you felt their heart. You felt their music. You felt their preaching of the gospel is the same. The Great Commission is the same. And baptizing the converts is the same. Serving the Lord's Supper is the same. The same Great Commission that they have is the same Great Commission that we have. And so that's why we do missions. And that's why these folks go to New Zealand. And that's why Jacques and Marie have gone to Haiti. And that's why you and I partner through Faith Promise Missions to be able to help the Haitian people. And so there's a lot of prayer needs there. And next year, a couple of the national pastors, I think, are going to come back here to America to one of the meetings that we have scheduled to be here, and they'll be a part of that service that we'll have here later next year in October. And so pray much for that. They have many prayer needs, and we need to pray about it as a church body and just ask the Lord, as well as we partner with other churches around the country, around the nation, to be able to reach more people for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you look at the text and you look at the message here in the Bible, Jesus was faithful in what God sent him to do. The apostles were faithful in what God commissioned them and sent them to do. You and I likewise must be faithful in carrying out the Great Commission and the gospel, both here at home in our area and then throughout the world as we continue to labor for Christ. I wish they had a clip. They had a clip in there. We gave the invitation on Saturday night after the Saturday night meeting, and the whole center aisle of the sanctuary and all the way across was just flooded with Haitian people coming, and really a lot of them coming to recommit to the Great Commission, to recommit to getting the gospel out, to recommit to planting more churches. And then the real heartbeat, the real need, I think, the heartbeat of the pastor, Jacques Alexander, that was there, is that we teach more Bible doctrine, and that we there's also many false churches that are there, not teaching the gospel. There's voodoo worship there in that part of the world, and many that they deal with evil spirits, and it's a very difficult area. But the gospel is being preached, and people are being saved, and people are coming to Christ, and they're following the Lord in baptism, and they have their form. I wish I could pick you all up and take you there and let you hear the Haitian the music. They, you know, a lot of it. I'm looking on a screen like we have here, and it's all in French. Their Bible is in French, and they speak a Creole language that comes really a combination of Spanish and French together. It comes up with Creole. It's a Creole language, and it's that's what they spoke in all week. In that, but you know, it's interesting. I thought of many times in the last few weeks. For example, when they come to church, it's their whole life. It's their social life. It's everything. And they dress. They'll dress to the hilt to come, and they'll stay there. And that's why they have such long services. And they're very warm people. And the children. I had a little clip in there. It didn't make it to the screen here. I had three little Haitian girls from the orphanage that kept following me around. Every once in a while, I'd come up, and I'd feel somebody grab my leg from behind and give me a bear hug. It was these three little girls. Many of these kids got deserted. They have no father. They have no mother. They have nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. And so it's a great mission field in of itself, and so there are many prayer needs. We'll get some of those printed and get them out at the Welcome Center so you can look at them, pray. And we're just asking you to pray. Just pray. And we know this. As I talked to Jacques, we have a big God, amen? And there are needs in New Zealand. Tonight in the 6 o'clock service, missionary David Cato will be traveling through. He's going to stop and be with us tonight in the service. He's in Brazil. There's many needs in Brazil. And you say it's overwhelming to be able to think about all this and what's going on in Haiti and what's going on in different parts of the world. But I do know this. God's on the throne, and he knows exactly who needs what and when they need it. And so our God is a big God, and he can supply, and he can take care of what's going on in Haiti. He can take care of what's going on in New Zealand. He can take care of what's going on in Brazil. We just got to be faithful in preaching the gospel both here at home and around the world, and then getting behind these churches and national pastors and be a part of. You say, well, I can only do so much. Do whatever God lays on your heart. That's the key, is just follow your heart, and the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you and what to do. But my friend, while time is short and it's quickly coming, the rapture's coming and we're running out of time, whatever we're going to do, we must do quickly. We must do that here at home. We must do that through these missionary families that serve and labor and it's like our missionary to Ukraine today. And the need is great. And Jesus talked about that in the Bible. The laborers are few. And one of our prayers would be is maybe God will reach down and touch somebody's heart and call them to the mission field. And I was just amazed at how many of these young men have surrendered to preach the gospel and go and establish a church and build a work for Christ. And they do it on little to nothing, but they are doing the same thing and fulfilling the Great Commission that God has called them to. And so you go back to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why we do this. That's why we have church. That's why we have missions. That's why we have Haiti and the need that was there and the focus, the refocus of the Great Commission and getting the gospel out there. God is doing some amazing things in different parts of the world, some amazing things going on in China right now, in different parts of the country and the world. There's some amazing things you never hear about going on down in Haiti right now. And our God is a great God, and he's at work, and people are being saved. Churches are being planted. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of all that. I want to be a part of that in some way, both here at home and around the world, and to watch God move and to watch God work in the hearts and the lives of people before the Lord Jesus comes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. And God, we thank you for John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so, God, today, if we're here and we're a believer in Christ, may our hearts be broken and may we fall in love with you even more and do the best that we can be here at home in our own Jerusalem to be able to win others to Christ, to get the gospel out, and to be able to reach to a larger group of people for the sake of Christianity and the cause of Christ and while there is still yet time. And then, God, for the regions beyond, to the Haitis of the world or New Zealand of the world or Brazil, wherever around the world, God, it's just overwhelming. There is so much to do. But we know you're a great God, and you can supply, and you can meet needs. And those people need to be saved and come to Christ and follow you in baptism and get involved in a church. So, God, enlarge our vision. Help us to see the world as you see the world. God, I really believe this. When we get to heaven, all the barriers that we have here in this life, language barrier, racial differences, just different issues of life from nation to nation or whatever, all goes away. Because at the foot of the cross, it's all equal. And you see humanity as humanity, and the world as the world, and the world needs to come to Jesus Christ. So God, help us to be faithful in our witness. Help us to be soul winners and have a hunger and a desire and break our hearts for lost souls to be saved, both here at home and around the world, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, if you will. Brother Ron's going to lead us in a verse of invitation today, and if you have a prayer need, you want to come and pray, we encourage you to do that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, and we can help you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come. We'll be glad to meet you here at the front. Brother Ron.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you may have longed for? At its strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring
share this with you, and we'll close the service today. I'm at the Port-au-Prince Airport a couple weeks ago. I'm standing in line to check through customs and with American Airlines, and talking to another American standing right there in front of me. And I said, you just down here for a short time? He said, no, I live here year-round. I'm going back to Illinois to get my wife. I said, what do you do here? And it's a Christian outreach ministry, and they're there, and they stay there all year long. And he said, a lot of the Haitian people have shared with me they are concerned in Haiti for America. I said, really? I said, why is that? He said, down there, they understand the attack on the family, the breakdown of the family home, the divorce rate increasing in America, now the acceptance of the transgender population in America. And they said, from the world they look at, the news that they see and the things they see, many in Haiti are concerned that America is on a slippery slope, going the wrong way. We live here. We're around it. We see it. You see it in the news all the time. I thought, how interesting is that? I'm in a third world country, a long way away, and somebody says, I'm concerned about the place you live in. That America is not, and we all know that, America is not what America used to be. So we need to pray. If God's people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and the Bible says, will heal their land. We need God to do a healing right here, to allow our mission effort to be stronger around the world. And all God's people said, amen. Be seated just for a moment. I'm going to pray and let you go, but just a couple announcements. I do need to share this.